Blog Talk Radio.
Oops, almost messed up. Almost killed it. Well, hello, this is George Gamond, and happy Monday to all my friends out there on the internet, in the world, and everywhere. Everywhere you might be listening to the show today. So, what are we doing today? Well, I got a bunch of stuff to talk about, but I'd rather listen to you with your problems. Maybe we can talk to some family member who passed, or relative. That would be a relative, wouldn't it? Family member is the same as a relative, usually. Or maybe it's an old friend, or maybe it's an old boss, or we'll talk to dead people, basically, if you want to do that, if you want to get answers. Okay, so why did I talk about solutions? Well, why people call me and why people call psychics is because you got a problem, right? Isn't that the obvious reason to call is because you have a problem? So that's what I do, is we solve problems. We help, we give you information that'll solve your problem. And so I use different things, different skills, as a channel, as a medium, but also, well, let me read something to you. Oh, at you, to you, to you. At you doesn't sound good, does it? Okay. Okay, so I use various skills. Clairvoyance, which is seeing, I see pictures, da-da-da-da-da, what's going on. Clairaudience, which I really hear from spirit. That's what the channeling part. Well, channel pictures too. And claircognizance. I do clairsentience, but claircognizance is one of my real gifts that I didn't recognize for the longest time and exactly what it was called, but it's really a cool thing. It means clear awareness or clear knowing. So I know things about people that I shouldn't know. I just do. I just know something about you. And since I've never met you in person and I'm not sitting in your house and, you know, we're not even sitting across from each other, so I can study your body language and study, you know, all I have is your voice. So that's why I'm really good at this, is because spirit helps me. They kind of read into you, maybe your Akashic records, maybe something about your essence, and help you. So that's what I do. And so I'm wanting to help more people that way to solve problems, you know, and solving problems is getting you to solution, moving from, and there's a two-part process in that, and spirit gladly likes to give you, okay, this is what's going to happen in your life, basically based on what you've been asking. Now, sometimes there's a likelihood, can that happen? This is what you want, and this is what you want in your life, but the other part of that is, and this is where claircognizance comes in, what's holding you back? Let me read a quote. Okay, we're going to get it to quote time. Quote time. Ta-da. Quote time. So call in. Let's do all this fun stuff. Let's make this interesting. And I have a statement I want to make, something I wrote, which I think is really kind of cool. And it's about keys to happiness. We'll get into some keys to happiness in a few minutes. But let me get into the Abraham quote for the day. And this explains a lot of what I've been talking about. So in a nice little quote, sometimes after waiting for a long time for something wanted to happen, you tell yourself that you just need to be more patient. Now, callers sometimes aren't very patient. Well, how come it hasn't happened yet? I've been asking for this and asking that. Or you convince yourself, Oh, the alignment hasn't come about yet. I got to wait for the alignment to take place. I got to wait for people to come into alignment with me. Okay. Well, I love the next part of this. And this is what I'm talking about, believe it or not. Okay, let me read this. But you do not need patience when you understand the laws of the universe. Ooh, good thought, huh? You do not need patience when you understand the laws of the universe, because deliberately understand of these laws in response to these laws will bring you speedy results. Okay, so the laws of the universe. So what laws of the universe are you not understanding? And so that's what that claircognizance is about, is, okay, how could you better align yourself? How could you better align yourself with the laws of the universe? I love this quote. It's an absolutely great quote. And I'm going to use it more and more because that's what it's all about, is, okay, it's out there. You've asked for it. The universe is going to deliver it. So what's tripping you up? Where are you not understanding the laws of the universe in your particular case? Or it would be happening like yesterday, right? It would be happening yesterday. So that was a great quote from Abraham this morning when I read that. I go, yeah. Oh, just need to be a little more patient. It's going to come to me soon. And then Abraham's saying, you know, the Spirit is saying, wait a minute, you just don't understand the laws. You don't get it. And in my case, what would the laws be? Well, you're not in a vibrational alignment with what you want. That's one of the basic principles. You're sitting in doubt. You're sitting in fear. Okay, so let me give you my statement. This is what I wrote today, or yesterday, actually. And it's about the keys of happiness. I thought, so I'm going to read this to you. This is what I wrote, and I posted it on Facebook and some other places for people to read. And I really believe in this. And I think if you live by this, that, and if you live by these basic principles, that your life can be happier. Okay, so here's, I'm going to start it this way. Here's how I started. After all these amazing years of living, I have some observations on how to live a happy life. My thoughts are based on hundreds of books read, lots of classes, workshops, and lectures attended. By listening to the problems of thousands of clients and advising them from my spiritual guidance, I base these observations on my experiences, training, and my connection to spirit. Okay, number one, and I didn't put numbers next to them, but we'll go through them as, and there's no priority. I just kind of put these out there. I think number one is probably number one, but you know, there's some others that are really, really just as important. Love yourself deeply and extend love, kindness, and compassion to all those around you. Well, if you want to be happy, love yourself deeply. And I use the word deeply, very consciously using the word deeply, because it's not a surface level love. It's a really deep appreciation for who you are and deep knowing that you're here for a purpose. Okay, so next one. Forgiveness is the salve, and I love that word salve. It's a healing energy, right, for the soul. Apply it to yourself and those who you feel wounded you. Well, I got to rewrite this a little bit. So when you read it out loud, you go, oh, wait a minute. That sentence could be restructured a little bit. So apply it to yourself. Forgive yourself, but forgive others, basically what I'm saying. Forgive others who you think wounded you. Next one. This is really important. Now, this could be number one, but we'll put it number three here. Hand over the control of your life to your higher power, God, source, whatever you call it, right? Hand over your control of your life to your higher power and trust that you will be shown what you want and need. So that's one of those laws of the universe, the how part, handing your life over to God or to source. Is how you get there, and they will show you how, the universe will show you how, that you let go of the wheel and go have some fun, okay? That's a big point. Okay, these are more practical things that you can do, okay? Okay, make sure that you laugh and seek to feel good every day. A lot of laughter every day is the most important thing here. And to feel good constantly is really important. Appreciate the little things and the big things. Appreciate what you want, what you have, and what you want. Isn't that a beautiful statement? Appreciate what you have and what you want. So it's appreciation. You know, appreciation is right up there with love as an energy. So one of the laws of the universe, that's another law of the universe. Show appreciation. Constantly showing appreciation. Do rants of appreciation. Another one, be generous in all aspects of your life. Give as you get. Isn't that a cool statement? Give as you get. B, that's let it flow through you. Just don't hang on. Be generous. Be generous with money. Be generous with love. Be generous with this. Be generous with that, with your time. And there's a balance there. There's a balancing act that you about this generosity. But for the most part, be generous. Okay. Find a spiritual practice that inspires you and your family. And I put that one in there because there is no one spiritual practice that's for everybody. We all have different spiritual practices, different religions, different faiths. But does it work for you? Does it help you in your day-to-day life? Does it help your family? Does it inspire you? Does it give you a sense of peace? So that's a big one, right? That's a big one. Seek out positive, inspiring relationships, entertainment, and what you take into your consciousness. I think that's a really valuable part of this whole thing is having positive, inspiring people in your life. You know, I've known people and I've read for people and I've known people who are with a partner and they put up being with their partner. Even that person isn't very positive. They're negative and they keep their and that negativity influences them constantly, but they won't separate from that. They want to change that person. You can't change people, right? You can't change them. Okay. Make it a habit to meditate, spend time in nature, and time with your higher power. Now, you could say that every day. You take time, at least a few minutes every day, to be quiet, to meditate, to spend time in nature, go hug a tree, whatever it is that you do, and time with your higher power. I think that's beautiful. Make sure you do that. Next one, be moderate in your habits and seek to feel good in all you do. And then that's back to that balance, that moderate in your habits. You can't give too much or you can't do this too much or you can't eat too much chocolate. You know, a little bit of chocolate is really good for you. A lot of chocolate is going to get you sick, right? That's the principle there. Next one, and it's all about happiness. So this is kind of the thought about happiness, and I could have put this at number one. Happiness is our natural state. External influences pull us from our happiness. You know, people, and I see, this is funny, I've been on dating sites from time to time, and I see this from time to time where people say, well, if I meet the right person, I'm going to be happy. If I do this, I will be happy. If I get enough money, I will be happy. If this happens in my life, I will be happy. The answer to that really is that happiness is who we really are. And the circumstances around us, the people around us, we allow to take our happiness away. So if you're an unhappy person and you get money, you're still an unhappy person. If you're an unhappy person and you meet somebody who you think is your soulmate, you're still an unhappy person. And then you just drag that unhappiness. So you have to get to the core of why you're unhappy. Find out why you're unhappy. What is it about the environment that keeps you from being happy? Maybe it's not the person that you're going to meet that will make you happy. Maybe the person that you meet will keep you from not being happy. Do you know what I mean by that? That's an interesting statement in the sense that maybe you'll meet this person who's really a positive person, uplifting person, and will allow you to be happy. Won't be negative, won't drag you down, won't make, you know, just won't be derogatory, won't do horrible things to you. And so the influences from the external can make you unhappy. So I guess you go back to that point I said earlier about, wait a minute, what did I say? Okay, seek out positive and inspiring relationships, entertainment, and what you take into your consciousness. That's the key to happiness, right? That's the key to happiness. I like that one a lot. Okay, final thought. And I'm waiting for callers. I did this because I thought this would be a fun thing to do. I have some articles. I have a cool article from Pam Grout, one of my favorite authors. And I have an article on some myths. I think that the myth one would be kind of fun. Mythology. And I don't agree with them totally. So that'll be interesting. Okay. Next one. I am sure I could add more, but that is enough to put into practice for now. And then I say much love. So I'm going to rewrite this a little bit. I can tell by reading it out loud, I'm going, ooh, this needs to be edited a little bit and moved around. But that's the basic core of it. Happiness. So what would I say? How do you become happy? What is happiness? It's all of those things. Really. Live a passionate life. I didn't put that in there. I probably should add it. Living a passionate life. Find something you're passionate about, right, and live it. Okay, so what are we doing? Waiting for calls. We're going to talk to dead people. We're going to solve your problems. When I say we are going to solve your problems, I really do literally mean we, in the sense of not just George, but my spirit guides and teachers and maybe your spirit guides are going to help you solve your problems. So that's what we talk about when I say we are going to, not the royal we, like there's multitudes of me. No, there's not. But so, okay, what are we going to do? Read the Abraham quote. Let me get into Pam's article. Pam is one of my favorite authors. She has a new book coming out, and I'm here plugging other people's books. But also plug the idea that if you want to get readings from me, if you want me to do the coaching, the reading, I'm really more of a coach in the sense that I'll give you the prediction, but now I'm going to coach you and show you how to get there. Does that make sense? I think it's a cool thing. So I will post, let me just put that here. And then I'll put it in the chat room. And I think it's on my website on the page too. And this is where you can go to if you want a reading, because then you can contact me through my website or my Facebook page or my email address or my phone number. I got to go back here and do some work on this site too. Okay, so mistyped. So it's themessenger.info. So if you go there, you can contact me through that. And I'm going to start posting more articles there, so for people to read and eliminate some of the old stuff. Seems like I got too much stuff going on, right? Too many things going on. So let me get to Pam's article. Life-changing reminders tattoo upon your body. Life-changing reminder, tattoo upon your body. I like this one. And let me just get into her article. Her quote, it was kind of like, yeah, okay. I've noticed that, this is Pam speaking. It's not George now, it's Pam. I've noticed an odd, should I do this in a high voice? No. I've noticed an odd tendency among readers of my books. Some of them make the disturbing assumption that I have my stuff together, 100% together, right? So while I don't think I'm supposed to swear on this, I think I can be kicked off if I use four-letter words. I don't know. It's not cable. Well, it is cable. Okay, whatever. So she says, some people think I have my shit 100% together. So while that's certainly a beautiful notion, and in truth, we're all perfect, beautiful, loving agents for God, I sometimes forget. So there's that tattoo-worthy reminders. Successful people feel fear. Let me read this again. This is a good one. I read this this morning and I thought, this is really nice. Successful people feel fear and doubt and have bad ideas. It's vital to remember this, because when we feel fear or doubt or have a bad idea, we often decide that there's something wrong with us. You know, that's the difference between shame and guilt. You might get guilty because it didn't work right and kind of go, I gotta change that. Shame would be, I'm just a bad person. So you got to break that bad person thing into, that was a problem, that was a mistake, and I can overcome the mistake. Okay, I'm editorializing. Let me get back to her thing here. So we often decide that there's something wrong with us, and we never write a book or find that relationship or do the thing in our heart is bulging out of us to do. So we judge ourselves as being bad instead of just saying, I could have reworked that a little bit. I could have done that a little bit. Maybe I need to do this. I'm not a bad person, okay? Okay, I gain the strength to follow my heart's bidding by hanging regularly with people with what I call my possibility posses. As songwriter Greg Tamblyn reminded us yesterday, everybody needs to find a group of abnormal people to commune with. Let me read that again. Everybody needs a fine group of abnormal people to commune with. We're abnormal that we all tell stories that defy what society tells us is normal, is in the normal. We tell stories about miracles and possibilities. So this is addressed to spiritually minded people who believe in miracles, who believe in the universe giving us all that we want in life, that we believe in the law of attraction, and we believe that these things will happen in our lives. So what Pam is saying here, and this is, let me finish it because I think this is really important and I want to make this point. We witness to the fact that we got to get on the right frequency. The bigger thing has plenty of room to work with us, to guide us, to bless us. And one of us is having an issue or even a subscription or other things, or others of us can gently point that out. Yep, that's one story. There are a zillion others. Well, basically what she's saying is having that posse, having that group of people that believe in miracles, believe in us, and that believe that, you know, yeah, you made a mistake, but you'll get over it. You'll move on. So I'm asking my friends online who listen to me, be part of my posse. Be part of that group, form a group of people who really realize all this stuff. Okay? So we are, all of us are full of stories. Why not be abnormal and choose the one that install peace and joy in life? So having a posse. I took that from this whole article, that it's good to have people in our lives that will really be a help to us. So asking for my posse, right? I think we should all do that. We should all do that. I have a caller, so let me get there in a second. So I like Pam's article. We're not failures. We're never failures. Failure is just an opportunity to improve, right? Don't you agree with me? Failure is nothing more than an opportunity, and we should never be shamed by our failures. We can be guilty because we didn't do it exactly the way we wanted to do it, but we can take that and go, okay, I'm going to do it right. So we have to stay out of the shaming process. And there's some great books on avoiding shaming. Okay, let me take a call. Then we'll get into a couple of other articles. I want the six myths that this, who's a skeptic, wrote about, I thought was rather interesting, and I have my opinions on those six myths that the skeptic wrote about. Okay, so moving right along, taking a call, and then I have a couple other articles to read. And let's go from there. Hello?
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 I just want to see how many times we could say that, the hello. It's kind of like Adele, right? Hello, hello. Do you ever see the car karaoke she did with James Corden?
Oh, that is great.
Yeah.
He is fantastic.
So, do you have a name?
My name is Lisa.
Lisa, there's a lot of Lisas that call in. It must be very common for Lisas to call in. It's odd.
I don't know. There's not a common name in life.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot. I meet a lot of Lisas. So I don't know why. So what's going on, Lisa?
You need to ask about that. I am struggling because I haven't seen my son in 2.5 years. He's been with a woman that chooses to write us out of their lives. And they've gotten married this year and they're having a baby this week. And I'm feeling very broken and lost and...
Let me understand this from a spirit place, and so I understand your circumstances. Your son is with a woman. Is she married to somebody that, like an ex?
He's now married her, and they're
okay,
having
so
a baby.
Okay, so your son is living with this father's family, right?
No, he's gotten married.
Yeah.
And the woman that he lives with, for some reason, doesn't want him to have contact with us, and he's agreed
right
to this.
I understand. I'm just trying to accept. This is like your ex. He's your ex, right? He's the father of the child, correct?
No, my son has... I haven't seen my son in 2.5 years.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. Let me get the relationship. So your son is married to somebody, and she does not want you to see your son.
And my son agrees with this because he's done it.
So she's a horrible person then.
We think so. But yeah. I only met her for 2.5 hours, so I didn't even have a time to make an impression, really.
She's so insecure in her relationship. Do you understand that?
I understand that. He's my only child.
Right, right. Now, we could get into all these prediction things about will you ever see your son again and so forth and so on. And Spirit would say, yes, but nobody's trying to predict it's going to happen tomorrow. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you listen to the quote earlier, you're tired of being patient about this whole thing, obviously, right?
It's the grandchild that's going to be born this week that is really breaking me 10 times
right.
more.
So you want this to come about. So let me give you, instead of saying it's going to happen, in which it will happen, how do you make it sooner? Now, obviously, you can't just make phone calls and you can't show up at the doorstep and can't all get that. That's not workable, correct?
Exactly.
Because you're put in a position where you really can't contact them.
Exactly.
It's not hopeless. It's not hopeless. I keep getting this message. It's not hopeless. But what can you do on your part to make it happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
get on with my one of the two. Yeah. All I do is cry. I've been crying for almost 3 years, and I told my husband getting up and crying all day and having nightmares all night has become my new normal, and it's a pretty awful way to live.
Okay. Now, this is not easy to tell you this because this is going to – Let me put it this way. From a spiritual place, you can continue to visualize the relationship that you want to create with your son. You can continue to put the energy out to create and to – yeah, I just feel this energy of this woman is just really horrible because she's going to deny you to see your grandson or grandchild, right?
My own child too.
Yeah, I know, but it's like the grandmother thing. It's a horrible energy. But I keep getting, you're going to get past this. You will see them in the future. I'm not going to try to give you a time frame. I wish I could say tomorrow, but I don't get tomorrow. But I can say to you is what you need to do. Now, this is up to you, of course, is to continue to visualize this. And pray. Now, this is what I hear exactly. Pray for her heart to soften. Her heart to soften. That's what needs to happen. Her heart needs to be softened. So pray for her to have a change of not a complete attitude, but at least an openness for just softening. Because that will do. And I believe, and that's what I get, is it will have some impact over time. Is you have to continuously pray, continuously, and it could be a week, it could be a month, it could be years, but it feels like she will soften her attitude towards you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
She will be less suspicious of you, okay?
It's really funny when you think about it. How could a mother-in-law be that suspicious who just welcomed her and loved her?
It's a very controlling. Obviously a very controlling individual and wants to run life the way she wants to run it. But I really see that you do this whole thing of breaking it down through prayer and visualization that her heart softens. And that you can visualize her actually reaching out to you in some way, maybe an email, maybe a call, maybe something to reach out to you, you know, and kind of almost in a condescending, well, if you want to see my grandchild, we'll give you a few minutes, you know, that sort of thing, right?
Mm.
But I feel that she will soften, not immediately, not a lot, but at least will open up the door. The door will crack open after the child is born. The door will crack open. Okay?
Thank you so much.
But you need to continue that prayer for her heart to soften and also continue to visualize there being a softening and an opportunity to spend a little bit of time to start with.
Okay.
Yeah, because it feels like, and not to predict horrible things about a person, and I'm not predicting horrible things, but sometimes things happen in people's lives where they learn a lesson And the lesson they learn changes and shifts their attitude. And that's what I'm feeling about her. A lesson will be learned. Okay?
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You take care. It's tough when this is so part of you. Do you try to distract yourself? Do you try to do other things? As soon as you start to cry, you start to do something positive, like start praying for them, and also every time you see that, start to cry, you try to do something that feels better to change your mood.
I pray when I'm vacuuming, and I have to tell you, I have a very clean house since this happened. All I do is clean because it's all I'm capable of doing because I have no mind.
You'll get there, dear. You'll get there. You'll get there, okay? Okay.
Take care. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
I just got this energy of this woman just changing somewhat. Not a complete 180-degree change, but a somewhat of a change so that she'll soften a bit. And it really feels around the grandchild that there will be a softening. And there's a lot of pressure at that point of it softening, it softening, it softening. Okay. Yes. Because angels can do miracles. You got to believe in miracles. You really do need to believe in miracles. Even if they're little miracles, miracles do happen. So let me get into these myths that I was talking about and referring to, and we'll read through these. And I found this is really kind of an interesting thing, and I don't agree with this author completely. So, and let's get through it. The author, his name is Guy P. Harrison, and in his book, 50 Popular Beliefs That People Think Are True. And he sounds like a skeptic, which is, it's okay to be a skeptic. So let's ponder these six misconceptions that he believes are misconceptions. Or we put too much emphasis on these things, right? First one is close encounters. Now, I have listeners. When I read this, I thought to myself, oh, I got listeners today. Hopefully I'll have listeners today. And I want your opinions on this. I want you to say, I've had a close encounter. And I'll tell you my story. So I'll tell you my story after I'm done reading this. Surveys consistently find that 1/4 of adult Americans believe that UFOs are visitors from other outer space. Why is this belief so common where there is no hard evidence for such an extraordinary claim? Now, if you watch enough of the stories on UFOs, there's more evidence than you can imagine. But, okay, we'll go with the skeptic's point of view. We all have great stories and blurry photos. Perhaps the most likely explanation is our irresistible urge for making up answers rather than simply admitting ignorance. A strange light in the sky is just that, a light. Nothing warrants jumping to the conclusion that it must be aliens. Always remember that there is nothing wrong with using the simple and honest phrase, I don't know. I have the mind of a UFO skeptic, says Harrison, but I'm also have the heart of a UFO believer. My hunch is that there is probably life beyond Earth, and I really do hope that someone discovers it one day, and then he puts it into the, anyone. So SETI or NASA or some lonely farmer in the Iowa cornfield. But I don't pretend to know something so important until it's proven. Okay, so we're going to stop there for a second. I'm going to get back to you guys. Has anyone had what I call a close encounter of some kind? We already got somebody. So UFOs. Now, some people attribute UFOs to, governmental experimental craft of some things that we can't identify. Now, let me give you my story. I have a friend who was going to buy a Pilates studio from, and we decided to go meditating. She invited me to go meditating on top of this mountain in the Santa Monica Mountains, which is just north of Los Angeles, downtown Los Angeles. And there's this flat area on the mountain where they land helicopters for, fire prevention and, fire rescue and all that sort of thing. So we went there. And we're laying there and we're meditating. We're sitting there and meditating. And I look up in the sky and I see, Like in Los Angeles, you don't see a whole lot of stars, and you just a little bit, right? So I'm looking up and I'm watching the stars and I'm paying attention. I'm kind of meditating and just looking at the stars and focusing on, and I notice this one star, supposedly a star or whatever, moving, actually moving. Now, if you watch satellites at all, satellites move across the sky, and shooting stars are meteors landing on, coming into our atmosphere, move. They move in a direction. But this little guy, whatever it was, now I'm kind of go with the idea that maybe this was a UFO. And this is my own kind of crazy thinking about it, because it kept moving back and forth. It kept drifting. It'd go a little ways and it would drift back the other ways. It would then hold in a still position for a little while. Now, if you can explain to me scientifically what that is, that it would drift a few degrees one way and then a degree drift a few degrees another way, but hold pretty much the same position. So I watched that thing for 10 minutes, and I told my friend, watch this thing for a few minutes. See, look at it. Doesn't that look weird that what looks like a star is after drifting back and forth, and it's not going any specific pattern, not in a circular, but it's just moving around kind of randomly in the sky, kind of like acting like a star, but not really. So that's my UFO story, and I'll stick with it. And I really, to this day, I really kind of, unless some scientists can explain to me some other kind of abnormal movement of stars and planets, yeah, maybe it was a planet being pulled by the gravity field of a star next to it. That would be an explanation, but I don't know. So I'll go with the UFO thing. So I got a friend here that says, yeah, possible couple UFOs. I've known other people that said that they've seen lights come over their place where they lived. And the one lady that took a class with said she saw lights coming over her barn in Pennsylvania, which were unexplainable. There's lots of testimonial things too. One of the best videos I saw was the lights of Phoenix. If you ever get something about the lights of Phoenix, and that was a cool one, that thousands of people saw these lights pass over the city of Phoenix in a straight direction over the city from north to south. Okay, let's go on to the next one. So UFOs, I kind of believe in them, and I'm not a fanatic. I don't wear a silver helmet with little things on it and go out into the desert to look for them, but I believe that life is out there. Actually, in my experience of being a channel, I've actually channeled an alien, believe it or not. At least that, yeah, it was different. Yeah, it was a different experience to channel a non-spirit entity, as I understood to be a non-spirit entity. The energy was rougher, and actually, when I asked its name, or whoever I was with at the time asked its name, this thing came out of my mouth, and the sound, which was really weird, and it was like, okay, I wish that would have been recorded, because that was amazing. The thing that came out of my mouth, the name, the way it was pronounced. Okay, so that was my experience of channeling an alien. Okay, we're all going to die tomorrow. That's the next thing he talks about. We have long had a strange obsession with our own demise. Today, an entire industry might be described as doomsday porn. People can't consume apocalyptic books and movies fast enough, as it seems. We love those disaster movies where the earth is falling apart, don't we? You know, Armageddon and all these other ones. For thousands of years, people have predicted the end of the world. Okay, it matters little that these predictions fail over and over. A NASA scientist reports that being contacted by people contemplating suicide to avoid the horrors of the Maya 2012 doomsday, if you remember that one. That was only, wow, over three years ago. The good news is that by asking basic questions, demanding hard evidence, and checking physical claims about the Earth or space with appropriate fields of science, it's not difficult to expose these claims, for they almost always are made up out of the thin air and placed atop a wobbly pedestal of faulty reasoning. Yeah, the Armageddon syndrome. Yeah, I was raised with the Armageddon syndrome. Anybody else was out there raised with the Armageddon thing, that and the faith that my mother kind of sucked me into, kind of believed that they kept changing the date. Well, we can't officially say this date, but oh, it's going to be here. Better get ready, better prepared, for it's coming around this time. We know the Bible, you know, The Bible crawling out, the Bible says, and going back in the dates and the history, and it's just about when it's going to happen. About this time. But it never happened, right? And that was like 40 years ago, 50 years ago, 40 years ago. Never happened. So let's move on. So let's skip the rest of that, because I think anybody else have been around something where or known somebody that believes in the end of the world that's coming? You know, kind of get into that. The only one I've known factual scientific possibility is the super volcano that's in Yellowstone Park, where that's going to wipe out a good part of Western United States if that ever blows. And they say someday it might blow, you know, but, you know, don't sell your property and move to Afghanistan yet. Okay. So that there are scientific predictions, but, you know, you gotta just live in the norm, right? Live in the now. Don't get sucked up into that stuff. Okay, what's the next one? What are we going to do next here? We're going to talk about I Saw Bigfoot. A 2006 Baylor University study that 16% of the U.S. population believes Bigfoot is alive and well. How likely is it this gigantic primate is running free in the Pacific Northwest? Not very. Now, this is the author here. It would mean that there must be not just one individual, but a viable population, hundreds or thousands of Bigfoot creatures capable of producing enough offspring to dodge extinction while also somehow avoiding scientific confirmation all these years. Really? If Bigfoot, dragons, or the Loch Ness Monster excite you, I have great news. Weird and scary looking species are discovered all the time. A 2011 study published in Biology Reports, scientists have cataloged less than 20% of land species and 10% of marine species to date. So there's a lot of interesting creatures out there. You never know. You never know. They're just saying big, giant Bigfoots couldn't be running around or we would be seeing them on a regular basis. What do you think? Do you believe in Bigfoot? Do you think there's a Bigfoot out there? I'm talking to you guys in the chat room. Yes or no? Bigfoot? No Bigfoot. Now, don't get embarrassed if you believe in it, because there's a lot of people that do, and it's okay. It's okay to believe in things that you know about, stories about Bigfoot, or I don't know about the Loch Ness Monster. I've heard stories about that one. But, okay, I don't necessarily, why not? My thing is, why not? Why not? You know, why not? Okay, let me move on. I only got 2 minutes left. I'm going to skip. Oh, I'm a psychic. I love this one. This is my favorite one. When author Guy P. Harrison posed as a psychic, he was shocked at how easy it was to fool the public. After fumbling through generalized predictions and questions, he was certain his subject would laugh, perhaps become more angry. But no, he leaned close and whispered, "That was amazing. How long you've been a psychic. You knew so much about me." Now, that we can do that, and I've heard people do that, you know. But I give what I do to people when I present to people. I like to do it this way because I don't see you. I could read you better if I was with you, but you get an answer and you go, "Oh, really? Because you've never met me. You don't know who I am." Dragons live in a different vibration. They really do. I believe in fairies and dragons and all those little wood creatures, you know, the gnomes and the, you know, but they do live in a different dimension. They do. And so when they sometimes, you think I'm crazy on this one, but that's cool. I like to be crazy. But they cross into our vibration, our dimension from time to time, and that's when we see them. Okay, but that's enough of that. So I will be back tomorrow. We'll do something different tomorrow. We'll have some fun. And, yes, thank you for calling in. I appreciate the caller. I appreciate those in the chat room. Love you guys. And we'll go back to talking to dead people tomorrow if anybody wants to talk to some relative that has passed or famous. I like to talk to famous people because they have insights about our lives from their experiences in the lives that they live. And they can present to us, like, okay, I did this and this and this in my lifetime. Perhaps you want to avoid this and this and this. I think of certain ones that have come through before that have actually been very open about their lives. Okay, so it's been fun. And I will, again, be back tomorrow. I love you guys. And remember, have some fun today, please. Okay, bye.